Some of you don't remember because it was so long ago. You just the birthday that I most anticipated was my 16th birthday. Any idea why I might really anticipate my 16th birthday? Oh, man, I was so excited to get my driver's license. I just couldn't wait to drive. I've been wanting to drive since I was like six. And I've told you other stories about driving before I turned 16. But I was so excited to legally drive and be a part of, the society of drivers in the world. I felt so excited about that. So I scheduled, and back then it was different. I you could do this, I think, a little easier. I scheduled my driver's test on my 16th birthday. So that day was going to be awesome, right? I turned 16, July 5th, and I go to the DMV of Visalia and downtown Visalia to get my driver's license. And I was feeling pretty confident about driving, despite some of those stories I've told you before. And so I got in the car, and the woman gets in, and, she checks all the stuff. And we go out, and we're driving around downtown Visalia, and I am feeling good. I feel good. We get back to the DMV station, and I'm sitting there waiting for the good news, right? And she says the worst thing that any DMV worker can say to a 16-year-old boy on his birthday: you failed. Yeah, you're not feeling my pain enough, but yeah, you failed. And I was like, what? And it just hurt me that she didn't say anything until the very end. I wish she would have just called it earlier. But it turns out that at one point in downtown Visalia, when I was turning onto a one-way road, a road that went to the right, I was turning right onto a one-way road, I forgot a critical rule for the road. Instead of looking at the oncoming traffic, I just looked at the outgoing traffic. And then I said, I want to follow that guy. And I pulled out and I followed him. And it turns out it's better to look at oncoming traffic before you pull out. Now, we still made it out there fine. Nobody hit us. I didn't hit anybody else. I mean, it was all good. But because of that, she said, you failed, because I forgot a critical rule of the road. And today, as we continue our sermon series called Moving into New Territory, I want to talk about critical rules for the road. It's a series that's based on the book of Joshua. And you remember that the book of Joshua begins with this young nation of Israel sitting on the eastern banks of the Jordan River. And they'd been wandering through the desert for 40 years under the great leadership of Moses. And at the end of that leadership, at the end of that 40 years, Moses brought them to that place where they camped. And he spent that time sharing with them all of the most important instructions about how to be the people of God. And then finally, after God showed Moses the land that he would never be able to enter into himself, Moses died. And at the beginning of Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1, it begins with this sober reminder from God to Joshua that Moses is really dead. And that the time had come for Joshua to step up into leadership. And for Joshua, he wasn't just going to continue to lead as Moses did, in the sense that his job wasn't to continue to lead Israel on a tour of the desert. His job was to lead them into new territory. His job was to lead them into the promised land. And to do that, in these opening verses of chapter 1, I think that God gives Joshua the most important rules for the road. Rules that he needed to follow. Rules that would guide him and direct him so that they could live into the fullness of the promise of God, the promised land. And I really believe that these rules that God gives to Joshua are actually critical, critical for us to hear, for us to understand, for us to know, and for us to apply in our own lives. So today, as we come to Joshua chapter 1 again, I encourage you to open your hearts, open your lives, to make that song our prayer. God, have your way as we approach your word together. And we're going to read the whole chapter 1. I know we read part of it last week. We're going to read the whole of it today. May God work in us as we approach now His holy word. So if you don't have your Bible, grab another Bible. Let's look at this passage together. Joshua chapter 1. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, The Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is now dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God has given you for your own. But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God is giving you rest and has granted you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan toward the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh God, come now, Holy Spirit, and open up our hearts and minds to your word, that you would have your way. Not just that we would know more information, but that we would experience your transformation, that your kingdom would come, and that your will be done. We ask in Jesus' name. And everyone who agreed said, amen. So in those very first verses of God's words to Joshua, God reminds Joshua again and again and again of what God has done and what God will do. We talked about it last week. But just to look at it again, verse 2, God says, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I am about to give them. Verse 3, I will give you every place you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Verse 5, I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Just in these few opening verses, God inserts his own action 6 times. He says that, I. And it's clear right from the start of this book and throughout the whole book, it's an important theme that moving into the promised land and having victory there is absolutely dependent on God's presence and on God's power and on God's promise. But did you notice how the focus shifts in the next paragraph? If you highlighted all the times that God used the word I in the first paragraph, now go back and circle all the time God says you in the second paragraph. Let's look at it together. Verses 6 through 9. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous. Have I not commanded you, Joshua, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This, The focus has shifted, it seems. See, God is the one, though, who's going to give them the victory. God is the one who will make it so that no one will be able to stand against them. God is the one who has already promised the land. God is the one who will give them their victory. However, God gives to Joshua, and therefore to the people of Israel, important rules for the road about the way that they live into those rules for the road will impact their experience of the blessing of the promise that God has already made. The first rule for that road is listed three times in that passage. Over and over, it's the refrain we hear when we listen to this chapter. What is it? Be strong and courageous. Last week I talked about that need to be strong and courageous when he was still on the east side of the Jordan, remember? That it takes courage for Joshua to get people ready. It takes courage just to say, in 3 days, we're going to move. And it takes courage and strength to make that decision to move. But don't let us forget that it also takes courage and strength to actually start moving. He's going to need that strength. God's victory in the Promised Land. Think about this. Does God's victory in the Promised Land depend on Joshua's strength and courage? Tricky question, maybe. I would think the answer is no. Here's what he says in verse 6. Look back at verse 6. He says, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers. He doesn't say be strong and courageous so that you can or so that you might. He says be strong and courageous because you will lead. It's like when I tell my kids, you will make your bed before you go to school. Right? You will do this, God says. Be strong and courageous because you're going to do this. You're going to move them into the new territory. And as they do it, God's victory there doesn't depend on his strength and courage, but he's going to need strength and courage to live into that promise that God has given. So be strong and courageous is that very first rule for the road. But in verse 7, I think we start getting the next rule for the road. When God says, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. You see, God gave the law to Moses as he had the group of slaves, this mass of slaves of Israelites who'd been delivered from slavery. They knew nothing else but slavery. 400 years of slavery, and they stood at the base of Mount Sinai. And it was at that place that God gave the law to Moses for Moses to give to them so that they could be formed into a nation, a holy nation. And years later, when they ended up on the east side of the Jordan, Moses, in his final words, what he does when you read the book of Deuteronomy, you read what Moses says to them. And he just reiterates that law over again to say, this is what it means to be the people of God. His final words before God took him home. And that law was meant to be a help to the people. That law was meant to be a gift from God for them to live as a kingdom of priests to the world. The law was given so that they could show the world who God is and how to live God's way while they were living themselves in right relationship with God through faith and obedience. And upon Moses' death, God didn't just forget about the law. God didn't say, never mind, that was for Moses' leadership, but now there's something new for Joshua. No, God said to Joshua, be careful to obey all the law. He builds on it in verse 8. Don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be careful to obey everything and to do everything written in it. See, God wants Joshua. This is so clear here. I'm just telling you what's obvious. God wants Joshua and the people of God, Israel, to live obediently to God. He wants them to obey the law, all of it. He wants them to meditate on it, which literally that word means to be muttering it and under their breath over and over and over, muttering the words of the law. And not just so they can sound funny to other people walking by. He wants them to have it on their hearts so that, did you see the so that? So that they will be able to do everything in it, so that they will be obedient to it. God stresses to Joshua very clearly his rule for the road. Make sure you obey the law that I gave to Moses. But why? Why? Why does God make such a big deal about Joshua being obedient to the law? I think part of it is this. Living God's way is the best way to live. In verse 8, God tells Joshua that when he is living in obedience to God's law, he will be successful wherever he goes. And in verse 9, God says that obedience will lead to prosperity and success. It's always better to live God's way than any old way. God's law that was given to Moses wasn't some oppressive punishment. It was a gift. It was a way of living that would absolutely set them apart from other nations. It was a way of living that would help them have things go well between them with each other. Living God's way is the best way to live. So if Joshua and all of Israel are obedient to God's law, they will do well. It doesn't mean that they won't face hardship or challenges or trials of all kinds. But it does mean that when they face those challenges, when they face the walls of Jericho, when they face unseeming odds, the odds that seem like they can't be overcome, that they'll face those challenges in a place of health, in a place of well-being. But I think the overarching theme here, the primary motivation, is more than just success and prosperity and things going well. I think obeying the law and being careful to do everything written in it was the primary way that God's telling Joshua this important message: be in right relationship with me. God's primary message or command to Joshua as he prepares to lead God's people into the promised land is this: stay in right relationship with me. And I don't know about you, but I find that fascinating. Joshua is about to take on the biggest leadership challenge of his entire life. The people of Israel are about to live into the promise that God had given them generations and generations before. They were going to have to face in that promise and in that movement, they were going to have to face armies that were bigger and cities that were stronger. They were going to have to figure out a whole new way of life, how to build cities and how to create a sustainable lifestyle for themselves. And yet God gives Joshua right now no specific instruction about how to lead the people. No specific instructions about how to organize them. No specific instructions about how to defeat the enemies of God. No specific instructions about where to go first. All he simply says right here in chapter 1 is get ready. Be strong and courageous. And stay in right relationship with me. See, the most important rule for the road while moving into the new territory is to stay in right relationship with Yahweh. To stay connected with Him. To be obedient with Him. To have faith in Him. It's the most important rule for the road because God is the one who will show them where to go and what to do. God is the one who will direct their steps. They can't do it on their own. God is the one who delivered them from slavery. God is the one who provided for them in the wilderness. God is the one who gave them the law. God is the one who has proven himself faithful and trustworthy. The most important thing, according to God's instruction for Joshua, on the brink of the most challenging experience of his entire life, isn't about how to do it, so to speak, or what to do. It's about stay in right relationship with me, with God. And church, I think the same is true for us. I believe that there is new territory into which God wants us to move. New ministry, new relational depth with God and with others, new health and new healing. And I believe there's new territory into which God is calling you to move individually. I don't know what that new territory is for you. But I believe that God is already revealing to you what it is. Maybe it's a ministry amongst your neighbors or your coworkers. Maybe it's the pursuit of healthier relationships in your family. Maybe it's the start of a new social business venture. Maybe it's greater generosity with your money. None of us, church, none of us are done growing. until we are resurrected with Jesus. So there is always, therefore, new territory. No matter how old or young you are, there is always new territory. No matter how long you've been following Jesus, there's new territory that God wants you to move into. And even if you're a person here today who hasn't given your life to Christ, even if you're a person here today who doesn't confess Christ as Lord, I believe that you're here for a reason today. And I believe that part of that reason is that God is calling you into new territory as well. I believe that God is calling you to move into the new territory of trusting your life to Jesus. And if that's true, that means every single person here, every single one of you, there's new territory that God wants you to move into. And if you're like me, you're probably wanting to know every detail about that new territory, right? You want to know exactly how it's going to go once you cross the river. We want the whole plan, exactly how each step is going to work out. Phase 1, phase 2, phase 3, and phase 4. We want to know the whole plan. But guess what? God didn't give the whole plan, all the details to Joshua. He said, get ready. Be strong and courageous. And no matter what, stay in right relationship with me. And when we move into that new territory, guess what? It's going to be tough. You're going to face significant challenges and significant resistance. You're going to be pushed beyond your comfort zone. You may even have to suffer a little. And there's going to be all kinds of temptations. There are temptations to do things your own way or to shortcut the process or to rely on your own strength. Temptations to satisfy your sinful desires or dehumanize the people around you or even just live as if God doesn't exist at all. But don't let that be something that keeps you from going into the land. If God is calling you into the land, it's totally worth it. So we need to prioritize our relationship with the Lord. And the way that we have right relationship with Jesus is through faith. The Bible teaches that because of God's awesome grace, we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, saved from the brokenness and emptiness that we deserve because of the damage that we've caused to ourselves and to others, and saved for the freedom and the deep lasting life that Jesus came to give. Church, Jesus has already done all the work of our salvation, for our salvation. All it takes to be saved from death and saved for life is to have faith, even a simple childlike faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God who lived a perfect life among us and died as a perfect sacrifice for us so that we could be forgiven, and then who resurrected from the dead and ascended to the Father and sent the Holy Spirit to guide the church forward in his mission of redemption and transformation. And yet, salvation is not simply a transaction. You know, I say a prayer of belief and God gives me eternal life. Thank you. See you next time I need you. Salvation is right relationship with God through Christ and Holy Spirit empowered obedience to Jesus that impacts the relationships that we have with everything else in the world. So the most important rule for the road for Joshua was be in right relationship with me. Church, how is your relationship with God? What's the status between you and the Lord today? Are you hearing from God? Are you close with God? Are you spending time meditating on His Word? Are you obeying His Word? Beloved, the God of the universe, the Creator of everything, wants to be in relationship with you. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to experience Him more. That's why He's calling you into new territory, into the promise that He's given. But as you make those moves, it's not just about doing all the right things or following a certain strategy. It's not even about making it into the land. It's about being in right relationship with Him. How's your relationship with God? You know, when I came here 2 years ago, I sensed generally that many of you were deeply committed to God, deeply committed. And yet, that your sense of intimacy with God and your sense of passion for God had waned. Is that true of you? And one of the main things I've prayed for us these last 2 years is that God would bring a time of refreshing and a time of renewal in our relationship with Him. I've prayed that God would bring new life and new vitality in your experience of Him. I've prayed that the Holy Spirit would breathe a wind of refreshing among us. And church, I believe that God is doing that among us. And I believe that's what God wants for you to experience. And one of the best ways that we can experience that is to step out in faith, to move into that new territory that He's identified for us. You've got to start moving. I titled this sermon, Rules for the Road, not Rules for the Garage or Rules for the Parking Lot. This isn't stuff we have to get all figured out before we make any move. These are rules for the road. These are rules for the journey. God's word to Joshua was instruction for him to move. And as he moved, he said, be sure to stay in right relationship with me. If you want to grow in your faith, start moving into that new territory that only God can give you. Into that new territory to which God is calling you and compelling you. Start moving. And as you do, church, may you make being in right relationship with God through an ever deepening faith your most important rule for the road. And may you remember God's great promise to Joshua. His promise that is true for every follower of Christ through the gift of the Holy Spirit. May you hear it for yourself when God says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified. Don't be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Let's move into the territory that God is calling us. And let's join in that right relationship with Him as the primary rule for the road. Amen? Let's pray. God, I just trust you right now that you are doing something, Lord, with your word. That you are stirring in our hearts. And God, I just want to say thank you. Thank you that you are so relational with us. That you could be a God who would be distant and far. But you are a God who has drawn near. You are a God who has taken on flesh. You're not a God who just says from afar, you better get over here to me. You're a God who said, I'm coming to you. And let's walk together. You're a God who said to Joshua, wherever you go, Joshua, I will be with you. And God, thank you for your presence. Your presence to us who are followers of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Not only are you with us, but by your Spirit, you are in us. You dwell within us, God, and you empower us to live in obedience. You empower us to follow you. Help us to yield to your Spirit. And Lord, help us to have right relationship with you through faith and through an ever deepening faith. If there's someone here today, God, who feels far from you, if there's someone here whose passion for you has waned, if there's someone here whose love for you has waned, If there's someone here whose intimacy with you seems distant and deep in the past, God, would you draw near to them? Would you wrap your arms around them? Would you embrace them by your Spirit? Would you whisper into their ear, don't be discouraged. Don't be terrified. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Draw us near to you, I pray, so that we would follow you and move into the new territory that you've given us and be ready to move. We ask in Jesus' name, and everyone who agrees said, amen.